Hello again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 75 of a 260-part series dealing with the happenings of the people who made things happen in the WHKP year since 1946. Same format used by the genial host of the Golden Globe, Mr. Frank L. Fitzsimmons. So we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. Today, how farming has changed since WHKP first signed on the air. Back in the 40s and up through the 60s, this was the time of year when everybody was up to their ears in activity. The tourist industry was in the midst of their cleaning and getting set for another season. And this is perhaps when over 1,000 farm families here in the county were putting final touches to not just gardens, but truck crops, flocks of chickens, pigs, and calves. And even though by this time many people who owned and operated a family farm also found a regular job in one of the new industrial operations in the county, they kept on running the family farm on the side. In late April, every door was open at Francis and Wright on Railroad Avenue, and large trucks and pick-em-up trucks were parked everywhere. The same was true at Hatch Feed Store on South Main Street, and out in the county, such huge general stores as Arthur Turner at Edneyville, J.H. Step out on the ridge. We still have Valley Ag, where Davenport's store used to operate out on the river, and there's Fletcher Feeding Service in southern states. But with a number of what you could describe as farming families now down to less than half of what it used to be, you just don't have the family numbers that used to be involved in family farming. Melvin S. Hatch, Melvin Spofford Hatch, who operated first the Houston Feed Store, and then he later renamed it Hatch Feed Store, Melvin was the Purina dealer, and he cooperated fully with the Purina, Butina, and the Mike and Ike programs. Now, in January, Melvin would purchase a newborn Holstein calf. He made a pen for it in the store, and he fed it only the proper Purina feeds for 5 months. And then, in June, he'd give it away, along with $300 in other cash prizes. That was to show farmers what a wonderful thing Purina feeds did. Bill Francis, not to be outdone, would install a huge barrel made out of hog wire and have it up near the cash register, and for every payment made on account, the customer was given coupons on which he'd print his name and address and drop them in the barrel. And then Francis and Wright would have a giveaway of all sorts of major appliances and cash. Then as a double whammy, Melvin Hatch would build two hog pens, and in one would place a pig called Mike, which would be fed only the Purina Balanced Hog Feed, and in the other pen would be placed another pig called Ike, which would be fed only shorts and corn. The pigs would graphically show the advantage of feeding Purina, as Mike would weigh at least a third more than Ike by Thanksgiving Day when both pigs would be given away. These events were tremendous crowd pullers. On the day of the giveaways, folks would start arriving in mid-morning, although the drawings wouldn't be held till about high noon. And always, Mr. Fitzsimmons, the genial squire of the Golden Globe, would join me for our Mutt and Jeff or Dog and Pony show. I would be the MC and Mr. Fitz the raconteur. He could tell hilarious tall tales. He was a master at telling those old yarns where all along the way in the story there was humor which called for ever heftier laughs until finally, when he would come to the punchline, he'd have everybody in the audience slapping their legs and bent double with laughter. I think in Cincinnati they call those shaggy dog stories. Back then, folks took their politics a lot more seriously than they do today. Back in 1952, Melvin told me that several Democrats kept coming in and wanting him to change the name of the pigs, not Mike and Ike, but Adlai and Ike, for Adlai Stevenson. And he says, "I can't do that. You know that pig Ike is sure to get beat. He's already 13 pounds behind. Besides," Melvin said, "there are a lot of Democrats who don't want to have their man's name out on a pig." He said, "I'll sure be glad when this election's over." And that same year, feeling got so spirited, D.E. Patey, the E was for Elijah, and they called him Lige. He and J.N. Albritton made a bet. The loser would roll the winner from the Southern Depot up 7th Avenue and down Main Street in a wheelbarrow. Eisenhower beat Stevenson, you knew that, and it was Lige pushing J.N. Albritton, about a mile up 7th Avenue and down Main Street. In farming or in politics, folks really got a lot out of life. Great memories of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave with a job he's enjoyed all of his life. Sursum corda, as we begin the next 50 years.